Go. Thank you guys. Well, listen, we're glad you're here today, and thank you guys for being with us today. Take your Bibles, if you would, open up to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Love you, Greg. Love you, man. Love you, man. So Luke chapter 1, Miss Tracy read it earlier for us today, but as you turn there and you get that ready today, you know, we get ready to do that today. Christmas is coming. Quick survey, who put their tree up on Friday? Okay. All right. Now, let's be honest, who put their tree up before Thanksgiving? All right, okay. Now, I'm more of a has-to-be-after-Thanksgiving kind of guy. I have to get my Christmas on after the turkey has been cooked. That's kind of how I roll. But you know what? When we put up our Christmas tree at the Rager house, and we do that, we have a family tradition. And that tradition is that we have to have Christmas music playing while we're putting up the Christmas tree. So on Friday, we had all the classics that were playing. We had I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas was on there, and all kinds of good stuff, the Jingle Bell Rock and all that fun sort of thing. Now, for me, I have two favorite Christmas songs that are maybe not considered hymns or spiritual songs. I like the Drifters version of I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. Do you guys know that one? I'm dreaming of a white doop doop. Christmas, doop, doop, just like the ones we used to. Nobody likes that song? Okay. Now, my second favorite Christmas song, one you may not know, and it's completely okay if you don't, but I'm a big fan of Run DMC's It's Christmas Time in Hollis, Queens. Anybody else? Okay, yeah, that's my favorite. The video's awesome with little Elf and the candy cane ejecting Run DMC. That's the best, right? And for everybody else that doesn't know what I'm talking about, you're probably better off for that, okay? My favorite Christmas songs. Those are my favorite outside of hymns. I did a little Facebook poll this week about favorite Christmas songs, especially from those within our church. And Christy Roberts says her favorite was Oh Holy Night. That's what she said. Jason Nichols said Silent Night and I'll Be Home for Christmas. Don't really take you for an I'll Be Home for Christmas kind of guy, Jason, but more power to you. Alicia Evans says, do you hear what I hear? And Mary, did you know? Misty Burns says, Oh Holy Night. Josh Evans, Little Drummer Boy, is what he said. Brooke Booker said, it's all about the cross. And Mary, did you know? Jesse Payne and Megan Payne said, a hallelujah Christmas. And maybe my favorite was when Rick Phelps said, the Carol of Bells performed by the Mannheim Steamroller. And then he went on to say, he humbly requested, could our praise band do their version of Carol of Bells? To which I told Taryn, and she said, don't think so, is what she said. Everybody's got a favorite Christmas song. Some of you guys love Christmas. Why is that? Why is it that Christmas music and the Christmas season is so interconnected? I mean, we've got funny songs that'll make you laugh at Christmas, like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Then we've got the more songs that really reflect the heart of Christmas, like Joy to the World, or my favorite Christmas song, O Come Emmanuel. That's my favorite Christmas song, hands down. I love that song. It's reflective. It makes me think about why Jesus came. But music plays such an important role in Christmas, and I really give the praise band freedom until Christmas time comes. Where's Taryn at? She might be back there. Am I right about that? Yep. They have freedom until Christmas comes. Shouldn't have said that, is what Greg just said. But when Christmas time comes, as we get closer to Christmas, oh my, there are certain songs that have to be played in the church service that I just want to hear, because Christmas and music are so interconnected, and they bring up thoughts and memories, and they make us think about stuff, and it just lifts us up. See, the reality is we need a lift up, not just at Christmas time, but at various times of our lives, because we find ourselves living in the world, and part of living in the world is that the world can give you some hardship sometime, and the world can really press you down. Anybody ever found themselves in need of a lift up before? Anybody in here? Now, the reason for that is because we live in what's called a fallen world. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they broke everything. I mean, the world was created perfectly, but when they introduced sin into the world, everything got messed up. Everything got blown apart. And that's why we have sickness and war and disease and death, because we live in a fallen world. The fallen world produces and creates injustice, and it creates hurt and pain. The fallen world is not good. But Christmas is all about fixing the fallen world. See, Christmas is God's plan of salvation to take a broken world, which we live in, and put it back together. So when God came 2,000 years ago, born in Bethlehem, He came to re-jumpstart everything, to fix it all. Christmas was God's plan of salvation. That God would become a man, and that when He became a man, and He would grow, and He would teach, and He would die on the cross for our sins, Jesus would fix it all. So as we lit the Advent candle of hope, Christmas is all about hope. And when life needs a Christmas song, what we find ourselves is that we need hope in our lives. Now, Miss Tracy read the passage, and she talked about how Elizabeth was greeted by Mary. Now, let me give you some backstory. Elizabeth is the relative of Mary. Now, everybody knows who Mary is. Mary was the mother of Jesus. Now, Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah had an angel appear to Zechariah. This was before the angel appeared to Mary. And the angel came to Zechariah and said, Zechariah, you're going to have a baby too. And the baby that's going to be born inside of your wife will be conceived naturally, very differently than Jesus was conceived inside of Mary. This baby will be a natural baby. But here's the thing that's kind of supernatural. Both you and Elizabeth are older in age. You biologically can't have children. Elizabeth has never been able to have children, ever. But you're going to conceive in your older age. And there's going to be a baby born. And this baby, the purpose of this baby will be the forerunner of Jesus. His job will be to tell everybody that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, we know that when that baby was born, he grew up and he became what man? What was his name? John the Baptist. And John the Baptist would go and would proclaim that Jesus was indeed the Lamb of God. So here is Elizabeth, very pregnant. And one day she gets a visit from her relative. We would think it would maybe be a first cousin. The scripture doesn't really indicate. But the relative comes, Mary comes, and she says, Elizabeth, I too was visited by an angel. But the angel that came to me said that the baby that's going to be born in me is going to be God. And unlike you, I'm a virgin. And the baby is growing inside of me. So Elizabeth and Mary spend time together. Isn't that interesting? When you look at the months that Elizabeth would have been pregnant and the months that Mary stayed, more than likely, Mary was there when Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. And then she went back home. More than likely, that's what happened. We don't know. But more than likely, that's what happened. But I love as we read in the passage, and get your Bible out, look at it again. I love what happens. It says in verse 39, in those days Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now listen to this. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So you ready? When Mary comes in the door, Elizabeth, very, very pregnant, what happens? John the Baptist, whose sole purpose on this earth is to tell everybody that Jesus is the Messiah. So you ready? The very first thing John is ever recorded doing is leaping for Jesus. John's sole purpose is to let everybody know this is the Messiah, and he is what we call an early achiever. He is doing it very prematurely, and he's jumping. And the Bible says that Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit, and then she begins to sing a song. Sing a song. See, music and Christmas is so interconnected that there are songs in the Christmas story. That's what we're going to look at for the next few weeks. But I want us to look at something today. Because we live in a fallen world that depresses us, that can really beat us down, that can really make us feel low in life, we need some leaping and we need some singing today. We need some people that's full of joy today, and we need some hope. So I ask you this question. Why should the coming of Christmas make you, when things don't go your way, when things go sour, when everything blows up, when the effects of a fallen world are in full swing, why should you leap and sing this Christmas when it's been a tough year? Why should you get up and shout and be excited even though it's been tough? Well, shall we turn our attention to a Christmas song today? First, I want you to see this, that the coming of Christmas brings me a blessing. Now look what happens. Elizabeth, she greets Mary. John the Baptist is turning circles inside of her. And then she begins to sing. She says, "You are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed." In the Greek, that's in poetry form. That's a poem. It's in poetic form. It's like a song that she sings. "You are the most blessed of women," she says. Mary comes to see Elizabeth. Both are pregnant. Elizabeth is further along. Mary will stay with Elizabeth until John is born, more than likely. And when Elizabeth sees Mary, she makes this loud cry. She sings. She bursts forth in praise. And what does she say of Mary? "You are the most blessed of women." Now, we are not to interpret Elizabeth's greeting as Mary being divine. The Bible never says that. Actually, next week when we talk about Mary's song, she actually says that she's not divine. She says that she's very human and that she's favored and she has grace, and we know that. So Mary is not divine. Mary was a righteous woman. She loved God. She loved the Lord. She loved God. She lived for the Lord. But yet she's blessed. Why is Mary the most blessed? Are you ready? It's not because of Mary's righteousness. It's because of who's inside of Mary that she's blessed. It's because of who's growing inside of Mary. The incarnation is what we call that. When God became man, God the Son, the second member of the Trinity, goes and literally goes inside of Mary and begins to grow. So here is Mary in the presence of God inside of a womb. Inside of a womb. And she says, "Mary, you are the most blessed. You're down. You're having hardship. The fallen world is kicking your rear end, okay? You need a blessing." Have you ever found yourself saying, "Man, I just want a blessing in my life"? Now, we try many ways to make blessings happen. We try silly rituals, good luck charms. We try superstition, and all of that is borderline New Age to begin with, and Christians should not participate in stuff like that. There's a cute little commercial right now about nurses doing all they can, and then she slides a little four-leaf clover in the person's hand, and that's cute and ooey-gooey, but here's the reality. You can't bless yourself. There's no charm, no rabbit's foot, no beads that you carry around that makes you blessed. I mean, there's no product that you buy that can make you a blessed person. You know, we are sinful. We do not create blessing. If anything, we create curses. We do things that hurt people and that are bad and that are wicked. We don't make blessings. So, you know, little superstitious type things, Christians need no part of that because that's not who we are. We need not to participate in good luck rituals and charms. You know what? You can have a whole house full of cats, walk in front of every one of them, break a bunch of mirrors, and you know what? If Jesus is still in your life, you're going to be okay. None of that stuff matters. It's all nonsense. It's hocus pocus. It's foolery. Don't even participate in stuff like that. It doesn't matter. There's just cats and ladders and some cleanup after the mirror's broken. You know, that's all it is. But how do you get blessed? The same way Mary was blessed. The same way. You got to have Jesus inside of you. Now, I'm not saying every one of you need like an immaculate conception today, okay? Now, if you come to me and say, "Kenny, I got blessed. I got immaculately conceived. God gave me a baby last night." No, we're going to have a talk if that happens, all right? We're going to have a talk if that happens, okay? But what we see is that when you have Jesus in your life, if you are a born-again Christian and you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no matter what you deal with, you're blessed today. You're blessed. If Christ is in you, you're blessed. No matter what you go through, no matter what you live through, no matter what struggles you have, challenges you have, if you have Jesus, you know what? It might be bad today, but one day, I promise you, if you have Jesus, it's going to get better. You're blessed. You're blessed. If you don't have Christ, it ain't going to get better. But if you have Christ, it's going to get better. And that's a blessing. So the coming of Christmas brings me a blessing, because the coming of Christmas brought me, the second point, the Blessed One. The coming of Christmas brought me the Blessed One. Look what Elizabeth says again, and she exclaimed with a loud cry. You are the most blessed of women, she says, and your child will be blessed. Now, some of you all have translations that read a little bit different than the phrase, your child will be blessed. Literally, in the Greek, what it is saying is this, is that the fruit of your womb is blessed. That is a better rendering of the Greek in that passage. The fruit of your womb is blessed. Meaning, a couple of things, God right off the bat affirms that a baby is life in the womb. Did you know that? Right in the womb. The baby's life. It's alive in the womb. So we see that. But more than that, the baby that's inside of her, the fruit of the womb is blessed. The baby that's inside of her is indeed God. Now, when the angel appeared to Mary, you got to back up a little bit in the chapter. But when the angel appeared to Mary, he said this about the baby that was going to be born inside of her. He said that he would be great, the Son of the Most High. He would receive the throne of David. He would reign over the house of Jacob. He would have a kingdom without the end. Who is this baby that's growing inside of Mary? It's the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the Jews and the world. But yet the baby was different. The baby was not what they expected. They expected a political leader, somebody that would come and kick Rome out and restore the Jewish empire. But that's not what God was doing. God was doing something bigger. He was not kicking the Roman Empire out. He was kicking our sin out. And he was freeing us from the bondage of sin and death when Jesus came. A term for Jesus in the womb was called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. A term for Jesus, God with us. So, what does that tell you about the little baby growing inside of Mary's womb? Are you ready? That little baby is God. Paul would go on to write this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. It won't be on the screen, but you can write it down. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Paul says, he, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, meaning the first place in creation, the preeminence over creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible, the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Paul is clear. He is clear that before Bethlehem, before the wise men, before the shepherds, Jesus was in existence. Well, Kenny, he's the firstborn over creation. Doesn't mean he was created. No, 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 no. Look back at what Paul said. He said that all things were created by him. How could he create all things if he himself was a created being? He did not. He did not. Firstborn is a title, meaning preeminence is what that means. Jesus was there at creation, making everything as the second member of the Trinity of the Godhead. So, was Jesus in existence before Bethlehem? Yes. The Bible says, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. Jesus is God in the womb of Mary. Don't be confused by the title Son of God. That is a messianic title, meaning that this would be the deliverer. This would be the one that would rescue the people. Don't let the Son of God term mess you up. That is his title for Messiah, because he's also called Son of Man as well. That's a title that he has. But he is God. When I think about the blessings of Jesus, he was a blessing in prehistory. When he was born, he was a blessing on earth. I mean, man, the Christmas story is a blessing. But as he grew, he walked on water, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he went to the cross, he rose again. Friends, that's a good story. He's a blessed when he was on earth. But you know what's really cool? Is that one day he's coming back to the earth to set it straight, to finally kick the devil out, to recreate the earth. So he was the blessed one in prehistory. He was the blessed one when he was on earth, and he will be the blessed one again when he comes back. He's blessed. Jesus is blessed. And you ready? You want a blessing? Carry Christ in you and believe that the coming of Jesus brought us God with us. Number three, the coming of Christ birthed belief. Birthed belief. Now, Elizabeth finishes her song. You are the most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed, or the fruit of your womb is blessed. And then Elizabeth says this. Remember, this is the relative. This is the older relative, the older cousin, perhaps, who's very pregnant. And she says, how could this happen to me? That the mother of my Lord, notice my Lord, she right immediately calls Jesus God, does she not? The mother of my Lord should come to me. For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside of me. And then she says, she who has believed, speaking of Mary, is blessed because what was spoken to her by the Lord will be fulfilled. She who has believed. Now, when Mary came to Elizabeth, the baby got all excited, started jumping, turning around, doing all kinds of somersaults for Jesus in the womb, all right? Which is totally, if you read about John the Baptist later in his life, totally his style. Me and John the Baptist would be like that, man, you know? I mean, we'd be like that. The dude was ADD for Jesus, and I loved it, all right? Love John. He's like that in the belly, man. He won't be still in the belly. But don't forget that Elizabeth is also pregnant, that Elizabeth is pregnant, Mary is pregnant. But do you remember the story, though, about how John the Baptist was announced? Zechariah went to the temple, angel appears to Zechariah, that's the father of John the Baptist. He says, you and Mary are going to have a special baby, and this baby is going to tell everybody about Jesus. Did Zechariah believe right off the bat, or did he not believe? Did not believe. Zechariah said, dude, we're old. That's what he says. We're old. Never tell God something's impossible. Amen, church. Never tell. And actually, in reference to that, the angel tells Mary, nothing is impossible with God. That's great. Nothing is impossible. So Zechariah, you know, it says, well, hey, check this out, Zech. If you don't believe, how about we just make you go mute until the baby's born? That's a good way to teach you, right? So Zechariah cannot speak. He leaves the temple. He can't say a word. John the Baptist is finally born eventually. And then, boy, his tongue is let loose and he is able to speak again. Now, when Mary heard, she didn't doubt. The angel came to her and she was very humble. She accepted the great gift of God given literally inside of her. And she believed. Isn't it interesting that Elizabeth would say, she who has believed is blessed. You think she's thinking about her husband who did not believe at first? Absolutely. When the Bible repeats a phrase, it's never on accident. It's always on purpose. Elizabeth understands the importance of belief. And Mary's going to really have to apply that belief. I mean, everybody's going to accuse her of being promiscuous. Everyone's going to look down on her. She's going to need to be anchored to what she believes. She's going to have to believe it. One thing that I think is really neat about Christmas is that you walk into department stores, you turn on TV, and you hear, in essence, what are hymns, church hymns, being sung everywhere. Now, some people don't like it. They say it's too commercialized, but I think it's kind of cool because you will hear songs about Jesus in places that you would never hear songs about Jesus. Anybody watch the Macy's parade? We like that. We saw, it just struck me, in New York City, which many of us have been there through our mission trips, the most secular city in the United States, marching band after marching band would stop in front of that store and play songs like Away in the Manger or Joy to the World. In the most secular city in the United States, all across TVs, all across the United States, the song Joy to the World is being played all over. That the King is here. That God is here. All across in the most secular city in the United States, they're declaring that Jesus has come to earth. But most people will not even put two and two together. They'll hear it as a tune. They'll hear it as a melody. They'll go through a department store. Hey, I bet you, and listen, I don't frequent liquor stores too often, but I bet you the name of Jesus will even be proclaimed in liquor stores through the loudspeakers. Somebody let me know, all right? No, don't, okay? Don't. But the name of Jesus will be proclaimed all over. Are y'all with me on that? All over. But many will not believe. They will not believe. At all. You have a choice this Christmas to either believe that Christ has come to save us from the brokenness of our sin and believe in Christ, that God is flesh, He died and rose again, or not to believe. I can tell you, the sooner you believe, the better it is. Amen, church. Now, Elizabeth and Zechariah finally believed. You think when she was in labor at an older age, you think she believed? Yes, she believed. But you know, what really baffles me about this scripture is that she says, Elizabeth says, how could this happen to me? Not that John was put into her. Not that John the Baptist was put into her, miraculously. I mean, that in itself would make me think, oh, Lord, thank you for being so gracious to give me and my wife a child in our old age. That's not what she says. How could this happen to me? What? Look at verse 43. That the mother of my Lord should come to me. Elizabeth, in her humility, does not gloat over her blessing, does she? Instead, Elizabeth rejoices not that she's received a baby. She rejoices, what? That a little teenage girl by the name of Mary of Nazareth, who has God growing inside of her, that she is blessed enough to have her come see her. And John the Baptist, well, we know he's excited. He's turning up and down, left and right, whole nine yards. So you know what that tells me? No matter how you've been blessed, how God has taken care of you, the greatest thing ever is knowing Jesus Christ. The greatest thing ever is knowing Jesus. And you know what? John would be born. And to our knowledge, we don't have any reason to believe that Jesus and John knew each other growing up. They could have been second cousins, perhaps. We don't really know. But I do know that one day John was at the river baptizing people, and here comes the Jewish carpenter from Nazareth. And John looks up, and he says what? Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away what? The sins of the world. The coming of Christmas is all about believing in hope. Hope, the hope of Jesus. I conclude with just two questions. Will you begin today to sing and praise God for Jesus, even if your life is in shambles right now? Would you begin to rejoice and leap and praise God for what He's done for you, even if everything around you is crumbling? And my second question is this. If today you don't know where you're going when you die, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, would you open up your heart to Him, admit you're a sinner, believe that he came to this earth at Christmas and he died and he rose again and he stands here willing to forgive you, would you open up your heart to Jesus today? Some of you all have been through a hard season, and God is calling you now to rejoice in Jesus, regardless of what you've been through. And that's, church, is what we call hope. Pray with me. Father, we love you. We thank you for Christ. And God, in this moment now, we ask you, Jesus, that you, Lord, would speak into our hearts, God, in a great way. Father, that you, Lord, would help us today to respond to those questions, Lord. Will we rejoice and leap for Jesus, even if we're going through a hard time? Will we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Father, you are so good to us. Thank you for the great plan of salvation that began even before Adam and Eve were created. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross, your resurrection. Thank you for all that you do. Speak into our hearts in this time of prayer. We pray in your name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Our deacons are on the side. If you need prayer, you're free to come and pray. I'll pray with you. Maybe you need to unite with the church. Join the church. Make a decision today. However God speaks to you, we invite you to come as we sing.